Well, we got to break back into this Kyle Pitts conversation, and I want to go ahead and get right into it off the top because I think there's we talked about this a little bit earlier. I think there's a lot of caveat, a lot of nuance to this conversation about Kyle Pitts. Now, news broke kind of over the weekend. I think it was Jordan Schultz from Fox Sports reported the Falcons are listening or fielding calls. Now, I think there's an important factor of this that you have to make sure you understand when you read this news. Did Kyle Pitts ask for a trade? No. Are the Atlanta Falcons actively trying to trade Kyle Pitts? No. The news came out that they would consider moving him because they're receiving calls for a day two pick.
Hey, there was another caveat. My favorite part was when I heard report, well, apparently Kyle Pitts is open to it. Well, yeah, what's the alternative?
Yeah.
He doesn't have a no trade clause. Mm-hmm. So, what's he going to do? Oh, I refuse this trade. Okay, well, you're still going there. So yeah. You can not run routes there, yeah, effectively.
And you know what's funny is I was reading, a CBS Sports piece where the guy was just so completely wrong about everything he was saying. And I'll have to find, I don't want to put the guy's name on blast, but it was like, earlier this offseason, the Falcons picked up, Kyle Pitts' fifth-year option. And they'll have him on the roster through 2026. And I was like, dude, no. I was like, it literally had me question myself. I'm going, no, that was last offseason, and this is his fifth year. Like, he had even went through, this whole dialogue of, here's the timeline, Kyle Pitts, drafted in 20. And then you go all the way through it, and you go, no, dude, you can't have a fifth-year option in the sixth year. Like, that's not how this thing works. And it is frustrating because there's so many nuances, and Allie and I were talking about this morning. There's so many parts of this conversation where it's like you don't even know what you don't know. Like, there's people that have – so many thoughts on this, and you're like, you don't even know what you don't know. You don't even know the involvement in this conversation.
Maybe that reporter thought that he applied for an injury red shirt.
Yeah, maybe that. it's a college ordeal. He had a COVID year.
Yeah. Oh, wait, it doesn't apply to the NFL.
Hang on for a second. Back it up.
You know the other thing that I don't want to hear? I don't know how you feel about this, but you know the one thing I don't want to hear, because I heard it multiple times, even on this radio station. Well, look, I mean, if Kyle Pitts balls out, first off, I heard that some people thought it might be contract. You know, I've heard that. But I heard, if he balls out, we should franchise tag him. In no way, in bleeping hell, I am going to franchise tag Kyle Pitts after this season. No way. I'm not going to pay him top, 3%? The average of the top three tight ends in the league? No. Because essentially he would have given me two good seasons in five.
Yeah.
And some of it has looked really bad. So a contract year, he balls out, and suddenly I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm going to give you – and not to mention you got other guys that actually – you need to take care of and are more pertinent to take care of.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, if Kyle Pitts does stay here, because rumors don't always come to fruition, what would a good year look like for him, in your opinion? What stats do you want to see?
800 yards.
I was just about to say the same exact thing.
And seven touchdowns to me. And look, don't get it wrong. I don't dislike Kyle Pitts.
No, not at all.
In fact,
not at all.
I don't think there was there might not have been a person that really was secretly happier than me when they drafted him at fourth, because I watched him in college. Mm-hmm. I'm a Florida fan. I loved watching him in college. Absolutely. He was so much fun to watch. And that first year, dude made some amazing plays.
Yeah.
And then he did get injured. And I gave him, you can ask Mike. I gave him all the benefit of the doubt in 23.
A lot of grace period. Yeah, I agree.
And
we
I argued with you, Mike.
Yeah.
About some routes that I thought that we went.
We're being too hard on him at times, which is fair.
Then last year happened. And when the signs are on the wall. When Kirk Cousins came out and said what he said in training camp last year, well, you got to stay on him.
Yeah, I got to stay on him. I got to do a better job of staying on him.
Not what I want to hear about my fourth overall pick.
Well, then would Michael Penix at QB, does that make you believe like Kyle Pitts maybe could see better stats this season? Somebody else kind of running point here?
Yeah, I'll let Bo, well, I'll go first on this one because I think that there is a lot of upside. I don't think it's so much the passing game as I am hoping, Zach Robinson lends himself more to play action with a, and I'm not going to, I don't want to call him a mobile quarterback. That's not what his game is. But he can move a little bit more. So the bootlegs and things like that and actually working play-action passes, you'd love to look at it and go, oh, yeah, well, Michael Penix being able to do that, that involves Kyle Pitts a little bit more, right? You can play-action some of the linebackers, and you can ask Kyle Pitts if he's attached to the line of scrimmage to get more vertical, and you can dump it in over the second level and split the cover two and whatever else. But I don't know. Like Michael Penix in and of himself, I would have trusted Kirk Cousins more. And just if we're just looking at the passing game, I would have probably trusted Kirk Cousins more to involve him because of the depth of the reads when you have a quarterback in year 13 or 14. Like, he's going to make it to the tight end. Michael Penix would be in year two. It's going to be a lot tougher for him at this stage in his career. But, again, like I said, Zach Robinson may be growing as an offensive coordinator with a quarterback that can move. Maybe the play-action game comes around a little bit.
I disagree in a few things. I don't know what mobile is considered now.
Because
back in the day – I hear it all the time. Back in the day, Michael Penix would be considered a mobile quarterback.
Right.
Because I don't know what you people think he is or isn't, but he can move, dude. He is not Lamar Jackson. He's not Josh Allen. But Michael Penix was a guy that Indiana used as a running quarterback when he was there. Now, yes, he's had injuries, but he still can move, okay?
Right.
He has grown so much as a pocket passer and his reads and everything since he left Indiana that you don't even need to use all that. Plus, he's not, I would say his strong suit is now a pocket passer. So I agree with that, but he can move. He's mobile.
I think it's important to draw a distinction between mobile quarterback and running quarterback.
But yes, I agree. And I think he's not a running quarterback anymore.
No.
But he is mobile. Now, the fact of, I actually disagree because I think Michael Penix is willing to take more chances because of his arm strength than Kirk Cousins would. And I think that could actually help Kyle Pitts because I go back and look at that throw in Washington and everybody talks about, look at the chemistry. It was a rope that even I would have caught.
I was going to say.
It wasn't terrible coverage on that route. It was a good route. Kyle ran a good route. The coverage wasn't terrible either. But because of what Penix did in pre-snap read, he made that play. Okay? So I think that Penix is more likely to shove it in there because he knows he can. And I think Kyle could benefit from that.
Pause, but yes.
That's a real term.
Yeah. Pre-snap read, though, I'm with you because you and I talked about this a couple months ago, and we were talking about Kyle Pitts on that exact play and Michael Penix going through his reads, and we were talking about, hey, is he reading the defense? Is he working through his progression, whatever else? And I made the point to you at the time, and it stood the test of time later when Michael Penix talked to Brian McFadden. That was all pre-snap read. Like, you look at the alignment of the safeties, the linebackers, everybody else involved, and to your point, and we used to say this all the time, that ball caught him. You know what I mean? He didn't catch the ball. The ball caught him.
That's a
classic throw of the ball caught him. Yeah, to your point. So I'm with you. Like, maybe there is a little bit more willingness of risk down the field when it comes to Kyle Pitts. It just, again, it's like, and we had this conversation all through the season last year. I talk about, hey, play action pass, can help him. It can allow him to get vertical and pull the second level defenders up closer to the line of scrimmage. Well, if you look at it that way, then you have to attach Kyle Pitts at least near the line of scrimmage, right? If it's going to help if play action pass is going to help him, now you have to attach Kyle Pitts to the line of scrimmage or get him close off the hip of the tackle. He's not good there. That is a bad matchup for him. We've shown it time and time again. And as you saw the progression of the season last year, Zach Robinson went further and further and further away from utilizing him in situations like this. Charlie Warner became much more involved towards the end of the season. You started involving other tight ends and attaching other people to the line of scrimmage. You remember week one last year, and I climbed all over Zach Robinson after that performance against the Pittsburgh Steelers because I was like, there's no way you went through the entire offseason and thought, this is the way to go about my business with TJ Watt. Caleb McGarry is going to struggle. How are you going to answer that? You're going to attach Kyle Pitts to the line of scrimmage to chip and help out Caleb McGarry? That's not going to work out. That's not his forte. So the more you move throughout the season, the more you saw them get away from situations and scenarios where Kyle Pitts was attached to the line of scrimmage or close to the box defenders. And there's a reason for that. It's because he's not good in those scenarios. He doesn't want to do it. He's not like wide receiver in his mind. And look, if you really held his feet to the fire, I bet he would admit that. I want to run routes.
But see, now we're addressing the problem. The problem is, and it's multifaceted, because some people will say we only care about his productions where he's drafted. That's right. But guess what? That's a real thing. And you can't tell me he's a mismatch. Look how talented he is. He's a unicorn. And then tell me, well, you don't use him right. Because last time I checked, if I got a unicorn, how am I using him wrong?
Right. At this point, he's just a wide receiver.
Essentially.
I mean, that's what it is. Essentially, he's a wide receiver.
And it's not, you know, I said this last year. I was the first person that I remember hearing say this, and you, I think, can back me up on this, was that they were using Drake to catch the balls and run some routes that Kyle should be doing, because they trusted Drake. He makes the contested catches.
Right, the catch
and
radius,
physical,
the hands,
and his route running was crisp, and he was physical.
Yeah, power slot position.
So who's the unicorn on the freaking team?
Yeah. I do want to get. We got about one more minute left. I do want to get to this real quick, and I'll throw this at you. If you got a call tomorrow and they said, hey, fourth round pick, we're sending it right now, send us Kyle Pitts. You're saving, what, $10 million? You're post-June 1 at this point. So you're saving probably $10 million against the cap. Is that enough for you to be able to get this done?
Well, it wouldn't matter if it was June. This is the issue. It wasn't. If you were trading him, June 1st didn't matter.
Right.
You were getting it off.
Yep.
I tend to say no, because now I've got to go find a guy that a receiving
tight
end.
That's the biggest issue.
And the thing is, look, I know this is it. This is a swan song, so I can live with 600 yards and 6 touchdowns, which is essentially what I think he gave you.
I think it was 4 touchdowns a year ago. Yeah, 600 yards.
I can live with that because, you know, at times the offense wasn't the problem and at times it was, but I could live with that right now because I know that I'm walking away. But I have to go find a receiving tight end. And I think that they figured out how to work with him. But you still got to have a guy that can replace that production. And that guy's just not floating in free agency right now.
I don't know that you do, though. I'm trying to think back on those Rams teams that Zach Robinson came from. I can't think of, you know, like you can go with Ray-Ray McCloud as your fourth offensive option.
Well, yeah, but
I think that's what they wanted to do at the end of last year.
But you did. Ray-Ray McCloud gave you like 700 yards
this
season
last
year. Yeah, but Kyle still gave you almost 600, is my point. So you, like,
I'm agreeing with you and saying that I don't think that, but I don't think they have to find a top flight receiving tight end. I think it's just you plug in Charlie Warner, let him do his blocking, and then, you know, you can go with 11 personnel.
But you still got to figure out how to replace 600 yards and 4 touchdowns of production if you get rid of him. I think you're cutting your nose off to spite your face to get a fourth round pick at this point.
Yeah. If a day 2 pick,
then I'm more open to it. Yeah,
me too. Me too. I'm taking that phone call, baby.
Well, remember,
third.
Remember, you don't have a first.
I was going
to
say
next year. You're way back in the first round next year.
You're
if you
already
want to
backed
be.
Into a corner.